Hello, Barry, William Magliditi, your host of the Comeback Game podcast. Today, I interview Ronan from Transform. Ronan dives in and shares some of the insights around this, but we also touch on, towards the end of the show, a very, very important strategy. Not only was it the way that we grew the Comeback Game podcast to over 1.5 million downloads at the time of seeing this recording, but also a way that we've grown many of our businesses and communities as well. So we share that specific strategy with you. If you're a business owner, whether it's that you're a startup business or even established business that's looking to position yourself for the next decade and beyond to attract more raving fans and to be able to swing big doors with small hinges, this is absolutely an episode for you to watch and to listen to. I'd also like to invite you to, if you're loving the episodes, please share it to friends and family, other people you think might benefit, like, and also comment. Let us know what you love the most about these episodes so we can keep tailoring our guests and our topics to suit your needs. And make sure if you haven't already to subscribe, whether it be through the gamechangers.com.au website, through iTunes, Spotify, or any one of the podcasting platforms out there. Let's head over to the show now. Hey guys, we've got Ronan here from Transform, a previous guest that has made some significant transitions over the past year or so. Mate, how are you doing today?
Really well, thanks, Barry. Thanks for having me back on the show. And you and I know each other a little bit deeper because we've broken bread together, haven't we?
We not only broke bread, we broke buffalo cauliflower, I think. Your partner's cooking is unbelievable, I must just say. So if anyone out there meets this guy and gets invited round to his house for dinner and a mastermind talk, absolutely the meals were phenomenal. The conversation was great too. What are we chatting about today? Like, we just spoke briefly. It's like, how can we add the most value to the listeners and to the viewers here today? And you brought about an interesting concept that touches on to something that I believe heavily about from a slightly different perspective, but same, same. So what are we going to be speaking about today?
We're going to be talking about client engagement, customer engagement, engagement on the internet, full stop. And what I believe is this lack of mutuality. If you've ever read the book by Nicholas Taleb about skin in the game, there's often a huge asymmetry between what customers want and what the business offers. And the bigger that gap, the more everything is transactional, the harder it is to build a brand and harder it is to buy into that concept and that engagement. I mean, we all know that engagement is falling off a cliff, right? We're producing more and more content, 3 trillion web pages indexed by Google, 300 million podcast episodes, including this one. And yet people are finding it harder and harder to engage an audience. And that all ties into, I believe, this idea that we need to get far better at communicating what the real value is, how we do that, and really engage with our customers, not just see everybody, including people on social media, as a prospect. You know, imagine if we flipped that around and we communicated to everybody like they were already a customer and we didn't differentiate. Say, hey, we're selling to you because you're not a customer, but once you're a customer, we're giving you a different experience or we're talking to you differently.
Mm. It's couple of things you said there are interesting. First one is this engagement. You know, like if you look at what the stats were 10 years ago, I think it was like on average, it was 3 to 5 touch points that a prospect would make with a business before they were in the buying zone or ready to commit to a purchase. Yeah. Those numbers, I'm not sure what they are accurately now, but I remember probably 6 to 12 months ago, I was looking into it, it was around 33 touch points. So there's this interesting thing that's happening with the transition, the change of the interwebs, social media, content marketing, where our need as a prospect to have that trust and desire in a brand has gone up significantly, probably from the basis that we have this information more readily available. Yeah. So that's on the one hand, there's more information readily available. It means we can shop around a little bit more, get clear of who we trust, what products we desire, and make the purchase. But there's this other thing that's happening is that we're starting to reach a saturation point as well, where so many people, you know, it's become so easy to produce content, right? Even high valuable, high engaging content in many ways, that so many people are doing it, that the market's becoming saturated. And now we're trying to cut through the noise to still get to our 33 plus engagements with a potential client before they move forward. So that was the first thing that you shared, which I thought was super, super interesting. Like, how do we do that? If there's only so much, you know, Facebook algorithms, Google algorithms, making it harder and harder for our posts to be seen by people. Like, you know, one of our pages has 71,000 likers. yeah, we put a post out on there and our engagement, our organic engagement reach might be 300 to 400 people,
yeah,
which is ridiculously low. So this is what we're going to talk about now. Just the second part I wanted to add is I recently read an incredible book by Joey Coleman, How to Never Lose a Client Again. And one thing that really stood out for me in that is around his notion of giving a prospect the experience when they're interacting with you pre-purchase, the same as you would post-purchase. And where I see companies go wrong is that they're either way too heavily engaging pre-purchase, and then they fall off the bandwagon afterwards, which creates buyer's remorse and a high churn and lack of consistency of that client showing up.
Yeah.
Or it's the other way around. They put so much engagement into the front end of marketing their business. So much in the back end of engaging clients and not enough in the front end. So there needs to be that consistency through the whole client journey from the moment you engage the prospect through to the end of their end of their journey with you.
Yeah, the more you can make it seamless, the more you can feel like everybody's valued, then absolutely, that's what I touched on. You know, we teach all these people are prospects, so we're heavily marketing to them and pushing them quite aggressively. And these days, most things aren't sold, they're bought. And that sounds like that's a subtle difference, but it's a huge shift when you think about it. I look at the engagement on social media and everyone's saying like, buy from me, zero likes. When you're asking people questions, what do you think about this? What's your opinion? The engagement rate goes up 7-10 times because what people have failed to remember is the simple thing is that people really want to buy into some of these brands and they want to engage, and they're not necessarily always given their voice in that saying on so many levels.
Yeah. How important do you feel consistency is? And the reason that I say that, like I look at our business, we're going through like an incredible growth phase at the moment. I think last week alone, we booked 82 sales appointments in a week, which is quite big for us. And one thing we're noticing more and more and more is that we've been doing this for a long time and we've got a lot of testimonies. We've got a lot of results on the board. It seems to be our consistency is what's helping. But in saying that, I spoke with a prospect last week who nearly didn't buy from us because he felt that we had so many testimonies and so much good, great reviews that he felt it was almost staged or they were fake or that it was some sort of multi-level marketing company because it almost seemed to be too good to be true. But in actual fact, you know, that's what consistency does. You know, we've been doing this for a long time. So what's your take on consistency when we're talking about, you know, client journey, content marketing, building engagement and so forth?
I 100% agree with you on consistency. You've got to show up each and every day, each and every week, and just keep working on the things that are important to you. If you're talking about, you know, really sort of solopreneurs and small business owners, we try and bounce around between all. We're told to have this social media presence, so we get across all of them and then find that we're terrible at all of them. I'm really only on LinkedIn because I know that I can do that consistently. I can post, I get engagement. I'm becoming towards LinkedIn famous or LinkedIn infamous, whatever you want to call it, but only because I'm consistent. I've done that for a year and a half. So there is no magic bullet. There's no secrets to it. It really is just finding obviously something that works and just being consistent at that and building that up. And that applies to the brand, that applies to this business of Transform. It is finding that and consistently being there for your clients, there for your social media people, there for everybody that really wants to some better engagement with you. And the buy into that all ties into eventually you get those results.
Yeah.
There's no overnight success, none.
Yeah. If we talk about LinkedIn just for a moment, like slightly off kilter, you know, what do you feel has been the key success? Like, what's your strategy on LinkedIn? Like, you've obviously been there for a year and a half and you said that you're getting some really good engagement. Is it, you know, posting a blog post a week? Is it engaging with other influencers? Like, what have you found worked well on LinkedIn?
It's engaging with other people and being consistent. It's all of those things. What I've seen on LinkedIn is that you could be an absolute superstar in your business on another platform, and on LinkedIn, you're nobody. And you can be LinkedIn famous and nobody outside of LinkedIn knows you. Right? So, but I also see that people just push more content onto there and expect engagement. And it doesn't work like that. Engagement really is about you asking more questions instead of just using social media aggregating platforms like Buffer and Hootsuite and pushing your content out there. Like we said, more and more content, you just push it out there and think that works. And then what I see is that people that even get some comments, and I'll track them and look, they're not re-engaging with those people. So you're not training them to go. So for example, if you post on there, Barry, and a couple of people say, oh, interesting point, Barry, you know, I disagree with you. If you don't give them some love and they post a couple of times, all of a sudden they go, well, Barry doesn't really care about my opinion. I'm not going to continue to do that. Whereas if you make them feel loved, oh, you know, I really appreciate that you're stopping by and engage with them. Next time they see you through the scroll, oh yeah, Barry, I know Barry, he's we've engaged. They're far more likely, probably 7-10 times more likely to re-engage with another one of your posts because you've created that tiny mini community and you've influenced just one person. And that's consistency. You influence just one person at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this for me heavily touches on like the innate need that we have at a fundamental level to belong. Like if we look at what controls a lot of our day-to-day interaction comes down from, like a creature in neurology, which has two functions, survival and reproduction. And at the core of survival, it's around belonging to a herd or belonging to like kind, where you know that you're safe. And so what you shared just there is allowing people to feel like that they belong to your story, they belong to your vision, they belong to your journey, which keeps them coming back. And we've seen that through what you've shared through Instagram, you know, through engaging with people on Instagram. Next minute, these guys are avid fans and they're sharing your stuff around everywhere because you've taken the time to actually have a human conversation. Whereas, you know, what we see a lot of these days, like you say, is people just, you know, have these people in the Philippines and India producing quote cards and producing this, producing that, bulk loading them onto a platform like Hootsuite or something, pressing go and forgetting about it and going, cool, I'm content marketing, like tick, yeah. You know, tick on the next, but then wondering why they're just not getting the engagement because they're not polarizing the marketplace because they're not engaging with people who are actually putting their heart to spend their time to work with you. How important do you feel vulnerability is in like marketing and a content strategy?
Yeah, being your real self is hugely important. we touched on this just before you got on.
Yeah.
The ability to really show up as who you are, people do sniff out inauthenticity. I think marketers do a good job of hiding it just because their copy, you know, really good copywriters, really good marketers, they are so good with words, they can do that. But for everybody else who's a small business owner that, you know, that's not their core competency, the more you can be authentic, the more people just resonate with you and they'll pick up on that. Yeah. Funny enough, I mean, I had a call with a guy in Perth a couple of weeks ago and he was on one of my webinars. And I asked him why he left early and he didn't buy. And he said, I don't know what it is. He said, but there was just something about you, the way you were delivering it, I just didn't believe. So again, I'm sharing this with you as authentic. Okay, well, great. Great learning curve for me. So I know that I'm not particularly good in videos and presentation. I'm great personal, which is, you know, we had a great dinner together. I'm pretty good on podcasts and I'm great on conversations one-on-one with people, but I'm just not good at delivering content on video. And my inauthenticity shows through there. Yeah. But yeah, the more you can just be yourself, people will pick up on that, those unconscious things that they're looking for that trust factor. And if they don't see it, you know, it's gone, which is why you're saying, you know, 33 times to connect with people. But if you're raw, open and vulnerable and really authentic, people will connect with you at a faster pace for sure.
I think great point. And I think that that's where business owners actually have a superpower over larger competitive companies, is their ability to be vulnerable. Like, sure, they might not have a kick-ass sales copywriter or be able to afford that or a full marketing team. But I think that the superpower that business owners actually have is the ability to be vulnerable. And I've certainly noticed for myself, the more real and raw and open and vulnerable, and the more I can share all aspects of life to our community, to our members, to potential prospects, our peers, the more I actually find people engage in that. Because social media, as much as it was a tool that was created to make friendships and connections, at most often only ever portrays one side of the story. And everyone, yourself included, that's on there knows that you too probably only ever portray one side of the story on social media. It's not like we go to social media to say, oh, hey, like had a terrible day today. I had to fire one of my employees and it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do and I feel devastated. Mm. You know, like we don't. It's like, oh, business is kicking ass and all this stuff's going great and blah, blah, blah. You don't rock up and be like, oh, hey, like I had to separate from my partner because, you know, things were just not the way they needed to be. Like that stuff's often not shared. Now, I'm not talking about going onto social media and being a martyr, but I'm talking about sharing what's real and your lessons through the learnings of those challenges that help bring people together. And I think that we are in a day and age that people are really open to vulnerability. And, you know, vulnerability is very different to jumping online and bitching about your problems. You know, like authentically sharing where you're at and what's going on from a place of owning it and a place of integrity and honesty will really allow people to trust you and will create those raving fans as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's a highlights reel, right? On social media, everyone has to be winning and everyone has to show their best self. But we're not really creating real relationships. I'm huge on relationship marketing. And what I mean by that is that you kind of want the marketing, but you need the relationships. And that's how they work. So there's often this need and want and the two different things between that. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, most people right on social media, they're addicted to attention and not connection. So they're happy that they're getting these likes and shares and all those sort of things, but they're not really investing the time in really sort of getting to know their audience better. It's part of the reason why people love to build a SaaS business. Oh, if I could just build this automation and never speak to a customer again, my life would be so happy.
it's not just SaaS businesses, the amount of entrepreneurs, like there seems to be this misconception right now or this theme that going around online that it's like, oh, all I have to do is build an info product that teaches someone how to do something or coaches someone. I can sell it via a webinar. It's all automated. I don't have to deliver it. And well, I can just sit on the Bahamas somewhere while I'm making, you know, my thousands of dollars every month from doing nothing. Like it's not reality. Number one, number two, anyone that is there realizes it gets boring very bloody quickly. Anyone that is there and has been able to go through that, is it probably a typical entrepreneur that has a fire to create change and innovate? And they're not someone that sits around the beach for too long enjoying cocktails. There's someone that's out there looking for the next problem to solve, you know, the way to move society and humanity forwards. So, yeah, I hear what you say. Like, based on what you guys have started to discover and started to work through your company Transform, like, what are you seeing is the upcoming trends? Or, you know, like, obviously, if we're coming from this content era where it's starting to become saturated, like where are you starting to see the market shift and what's your prediction for the next sort of 5 to 10 years?
Well, we've almost gone sort of full circle, almost sort of old school back to where's the relationship? I mean, every one of us has looked at these bigger companies and looked at their mission statements and their values and gone, well, that's just a complete crock of jargon and words that A, don't mean anything, and B, you know, they've paid a consultant 10, 20 grand to come up with. I think you talk about authenticity. If you've got, and this isn't easy, because if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And that's just the same as exactly what you said, all that marketing, all that funnel. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. But we're definitely seeing this need that if you've got core values, and I mean real values, and a real position that you absolutely defend. So you defend that with your customers, you defend that with your staff, you defend that in everything you do, then those conversations, although they're difficult at the start, it's something that you can all buy into. Are we all on the same page? Actually, no, I didn't meet up the standards here. You know, I let this customer down, or I've let this employee down, or I've let someone else down within that shared value that everyone's working towards. Then when you get that buy-in from everybody, you do see companies like Trader Joe's, these amazing companies that just everybody wants to be part of. They buy into the brand, they want to work for them, they want to engage with them, they want to be a customer, because they know that what they stand for is something far more than just these words that they wrote down on a piece of paper that they don't ever believe in and subscribe to.
Yeah, I love that. I think Seth Godin speaks about that a little bit as well. Like, I really love that, like defending your customers, like standing for something so strong that you allow others to get around behind you and with you on that key point. How does that kind of look like? How practically, how does that look in terms of being able to take that into the marketplace that is heavily saturated right now?
Well, the first one is people that are willing to be open to change, to kind of know that what they're doing isn't working, and also that they're investing this in a slightly longer term. You talk about consistency. You know, are you going to write a new statement that everyone can buy into and get that buy-in in 4 weeks? No, absolutely not. The bigger the company, the harder it is to turn around. But can you build something that you can be proud of and everybody works towards and has those first couple of difficult conversations, gets that realignment, and then slowly transforms and creates that consistency? Absolutely. To be honest, it's not rocket science. It's not something that no one's ever done before. But when you look at all the case studies of how it works and apply those things, you can definitely start to see very quickly the different conversations people have, what their future of their business really looks like, because they're all buying into it and they all can see a vision that they hadn't seen before. Prior to that, they were probably just thinking, well, I don't really align to these vision or these values, but I'm here for a paycheck and we're doing what we can. When you can have those really, really honest conversations and reset and start from there, then yeah, engagement goes up. We all know that millennials, you know, want to work for purpose. We've changed now. They don't want to work for just for money. They want to work for purpose. And therefore customers want to engage with people for purpose. So the more you can have that mutuality, it's a huge thing. The closer you can get to matching people's expectations, the lower the gap is that everyone's on board with that, then the more you're just going to get that buy-in, that engagement, all of the things that people are looking to get with, you know, maybe you said one silver bullet of just spamming a content out there.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And it leads me to want to change direction ever so slightly and touch on something that we have spoken about, I think, on the last episode a little bit. And we've had a couple of people on that have spoken similar. And that's around this concept of masterminding. And, you know, I see a lot of people, especially in our space, the coaching space, doing it wrong. You know, they're building these huge communities very, very fast without the infrastructure to support or really create meaningful relationships. And true masterminding, it works very differently than that. And I guess what I've seen is that's why multi-level marketing companies work so well is because you have someone at the top that starts with selling a product and they find two people that buy into the product or buy into the vision. And then they go and find two people. And next thing you know, you've got this pyramid, which is how the name pyramid effect comes up. Yeah. We have all these people selling the same thing, right? So if we take that concept for a second, like regardless of your viewpoints on multi-level marketing, if we take that concept for a second, if we take everything that you've spoken about here today around the shift in this authenticity, in this authority, in making a stand for your client, and we also take the concept of masterminding, there's a huge opportunity to create few, very deep lasting relationships.
Yeah.
Rather than going after trying to influence a gazillion people in your program, if you're getting one or two or three or four clients that you're able to create really solid relationships with, to the point that you're wholeheartedly there to serve them, as you said, to make a stand for them, they will do the same for you. And they will do the same for you in their networks, in their associations. And before you know it, you'll have a business that organically is far stronger than a lot of the reach you can get on social media, because you actually have people as your ambassadors.
Yeah.
You have your clients as your marketing company.
Yeah, you create these fans and these advocates, people that will always champion you. And it's something that I touch on a little bit quite often about symbolic capital. So everybody chases dollar figures. I've just got more money in the bank, or this is my net worth. And there's a huge thing that people don't realize unless they're really smart in business is the symbolic capital, which is your reputation, the trust, the people you know, the all that network that you invest your time in, and you know that it'll pay back. So, for example, my mentor, who's run high-level masterminds, he co-founded the C-Suite Network in the US, he's run 18 different businesses, 40 years of business. His symbolic capital is huge. You know, he's had Seth Godin on his podcast. He knows Gary Vee. So he's got this huge network where he's invested in people. And is able to tap into that at any stage. And one of the things is, you know, will that person take your phone call 2 years later? If you've had a transactional relationship with them, probably not. If you've gone deeper with them, absolutely. We'll introduce with someone that you need, that someone can help you get where you want to be. So the hidden benefits of masterminds, sure, there's good money to be made in running a mastermind and having that core group. Secondly, the hidden benefit is that they all come together and they build that deeper trust where all those relationships happen and JVs and other partnerships happen. And the amount of people that I get on LinkedIn, some guy connected with me a couple of weeks ago and said, can you introduce me to this prospect in this area? And I said, I have these conversations with people all the time, 15-minute no sales conversation, get to know them. If there's a way I can help them, I'll connect them with them. Last week I connected 4 people. I said, but I don't know you. So how am I ever going to recommend you when you haven't even bothered to spend 15 minutes on a conversation with me to get to know each other and find some kind of mutuality? So yeah, masterminds are an incredibly powerful tool, but done wrong, they're just another pyramid of you giving this top-down information to everybody and it being transactional.
Which is to kind of finish with an analogy where a lot of multi-level marketing companies go wrong. Is they're all about themselves and they're selling their and flogging their product. They're not about creating real relationships. And the ones that are doing well are the ones that are creating real relationships and lasting impacts on people's lives. And in many ways, that's the exact strategy we used to launch and grow this podcast. You know, we've now had over, I think, 1.5 million downloads since we launched about, I think it was 14, 15 months ago or something at the time of this recording. And all we did is we went, okay, cool. Who do I know in my network who I have some equity built with? I.e., you know, who are some people that I've added a lot of value to wholeheartedly and never asked anything of, and asked a few of them to come on the podcast, showed up, gave them a great time, had a fantastic interview, you know, really helped them to spread their word, and then followed up with, cool, like, who else do you know that would be a good fit for the podcast? And that's how we've been able to book, you know, a guest a week for however long we've been going now consistently, and some incredibly great and high profile guests as well, is based on that relationship. But now I've also got a network where I've had people invite me to stay at their house in the States. I've had people that invited me to events, all through just interviewing them on the podcast. I think you're a referral from someone else, and obviously got an invitation to your house and met some of your friends and some other business owners. And it's just all through focusing on this interpersonal relationship between one another, finding commonalities. How can I add value to you? How can I add value to you? Like, it's always going to be neutral. There's always going to be the ability to help one another. But if I'm going there to see what I can get from you and you're coming there to see what you can get from me, we're not, first of all, looking for common ground, because we're too worried about ourselves and not around how we can serve the other person. But it's through understanding the other person and getting to know them, you can work out how to best serve them. But you can also start to understand how they might better serve you as well.
Exactly. And look, you'll see this post, you'll see the exact same thing 5-10 times a day on all the social media platforms. That's what everyone's pushing out. But how many of them are actually doing it? If you stopped any of those, even the people that are posting it, and said, okay, when's the last time you connected with someone for no other reason to get to know them and to know that there's some way you can help them? And like I said, last week I connected with a guy here in Melbourne who very successful entrepreneur. He's got about 3 different businesses. He invests in business. He's a mentor in the Founder Institute. And we just had this 45-minute conversation. And as it transpired, I said, oh, let me introduce you to so-and-so. So I introduced him to 4 people. And he was blown away. He's like, you've made my day. Now, he's a highly connected, highly successful entrepreneur. And all we did, we got in a conversation. And the reason it started, he said, I saw a guy in Cambodia by the swimming pool look just like you. And he said, I was scrolling through LinkedIn and I'm like, this is that guy. And I said, no, it wasn't me. That's how it started. And I said, well, let's get on a call. Like, it was a no sales call. We just got on a call. We connected on a human level. And who knows where that's going to lead. You know, he might come to my next mastermind dinner and we might create something. We might not. But yeah. I was able to give value there without any expectation. And Barry, you are an amazing person at doing that as well. So you're living that talk and talk about transform. That's on a micro level. That's all you need to do on a consistent basis, is to slowly just, as I said, you know, you see it all the time on social media, but if you sat down and said, okay, at the end of your working week, how many people did you connect with, or how many people did you help along their way without any expectation, who are outside of your, hey, these are my paying customers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. And I think with that, that's where this ties into consistency as well, is that I've seen so many people come and go in this space, come and go in business. They come out all guns blazing. Their copy looks great. Their images look fantastic. And then a year later, they're nowhere to be seen. So, you know, be wary of who you're doing business with and building relationships with. And, you know, look them up. Like, look back. Have they got a track record of helping other people? Have they got a track record of doing what they're doing before connecting with them? And as you said, like, I think it's so important to connect with them at a personal level without any desire to attain something. And you never know, like, I've had the most random people I've connected with sitting next to on a plane that have turned out to become a client or have turned out to introduce me to someone that's been a massive deal for us just purely through having a conversation and wanting to get to know them on a human level. I think at the core of us as human beings, we have a need to belong, as I mentioned before. And part of that is through this connection, and we can't get there if we're playing the significance game and always making it about ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, marketing is an incredibly transactional process and getting more and more expensive. So, you know, Facebook, when the really big retailers come into Facebook, which is probably the next couple of years, you know, cost per click will probably be double. Your reach, as you said, you know, 30 times people got to see you. So your return on investment on advertising is just going to be less and less. Whereas your return on relationships and engagement and all those other things are huge in the long term. For the people who are not so short-sighted, they go, I just need dollars in the door, versus I'm going to be in this niche or this industry for the next 5-10 years. I'm building something that is big, and I can take the time and the effort to build up that symbolic capital I talk about and all of those things that come with it.
And even if you're not going to be in the niche or this industry for the next 10 years, you're always going to be, and until you're dead in the ground, you're going to be living. So there's other opportunities that will come that you can't even perceive right now. So do the right thing, look after people, add value where you can, connect people. And I think like you, that is a key to succeeding in the next decade for sure.
Yeah. So we finally answered that question. You asked me where the trend's going. I think in a roundabout way, we got to it in the end.
Yeah. So look, for anyone who's curious to find a bit more about you or you know, this great venture you're up to, how can they best connect with you? Obviously, LinkedIn's a great platform they can connect with you on.
Yeah, and connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm very, very active on there and just building up my symbolic capital through that. Yeah. The website is almost new. We've just got some seed funding and we're just starting on this venture. Like I said, we haven't got it all figured out. And that's the beauty of a startup, is that you don't have to go in and go, well, I've got it all figured out. So the website's ready any day now. We'll drop the link in the show notes.
Yeah.
So it's Transform, but it's missing the A. So it's TRNSFORM. And the idea really is, yeah, that, you know, to really create the business and the leverage and the legacy you want, you've got to transform how you're communicating, how you're engaging with people. And when you do that, you grow exponentially.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So look, if you're watching or listening to this today on any of the various platforms, you'll find all the show notes on thegamechangers.com.au/thecomebackgame. Otherwise, we'll be on iTunes, Spotify, or any one of the podcast platforms. Please feel free to reach out to Ron if you want to find some more out about this amazing adventure he's on. Nicola, too, if you're looking for a supportive community that can help you to grow and transform and create real relationships to see your business soar and succeed for the next decade and beyond, please check out The Game Changers. Book a session with one of the team. We're more than happy to see whether or not we might be the right fit to help you grow. If we can't, we'll let you know and refer to someone else. If we can, we'll absolutely look forward to working with you and helping you achieve huge results for the years to come. Ryan, absolute pleasure to have you on the show again, mate. So grateful for your input and everything you've shared to me and to my life over the past year or so since we've met. And hopefully you'll have some people reaching out to find out more about the great stuff you guys are doing.
Lovely. Thanks, Barry.
If you're in a position that many of our clients were before joining us, which is that your business is controlling you rather than you controlling your business, we would love to have a chat to you to see whether or not we might be the right fit to partner with you to help you grow and succeed in business. And over the past 8 years, we've helped hundreds of business owners around the world to grow, scale, and succeed in business. Many of our clients report we've helped them to triple their profits and double their time off in 12 months or less. If you jump onto YouTube and notice the hundreds of testimonies, you'd see that this is a common theme amongst them. If you're a business owner that's generating more than $300,000 a year in annual revenue, whether it's $500 million, $5 million, even $10 million a year, and you're looking to take your business and your life to the next level, we might be able to help. If you're noticing that your business is lacking structure, maybe systems or processes, maybe you're not quite attracting enough or the right type of quality leads, making enough sales, or maybe you've been having issues finding, hiring, retaining, and training the right team members, we could be a fit for you. Ultimately, we believe that we never have business problems, we have personal problems that are expressed through our business. And a lot of the work we do is with you as a business owner, helping you to constantly upgrade the way that you see life, the way that you make decisions, and the way that you help construct a profitable and purpose-driven business. In order for us to do that though, you need to book in a quick 15-minute application call with one of our scaling specialists here at The Game Changers. Through the 15-minute call, we're gonna ask you a bunch of questions to see if or how we might better help you. If we can't help you, we'll let you know politely and do our best to point in the direction of someone that can. However, we can help you, we look at booking you a 1-hour game plan session where we're gonna dive a lot deeper into where you and your business are at right now, where it is that you want to go in the next 3, 5, and 10 years time, and what are the potential roadblocks or challenges or even opportunities that are along the journey in order for you to get there faster. If you're really feeling that it's time for you to experience the love and the joy of running a business again, if you're really wanting to experience a business that does actually operate without you while still producing profit, we may very well be the right fit. So book in a 15-minute call. We can have a chat and see where we go from there. My name is Brad Boditti, and thanks for listening. Hopefully we get a chance to talk soon.